Yes, that sounds like sound. So, I'm McFly. I am giving this talk on running your own fucking infrastructure. As already said very nicely, I gave it first in 2012 and in 2014 at the EMF camp. So, we're going to see how this aged. So, I do security at the Port of Rotterdam, mostly security and software development. But most of the people here will likely know me from this Milliways. In case you don't know Milliways, come there and visit it. It's great. Yeah, but to myself, I think the most interesting in that is I'm actually an NPC in a computer game. I'm old, so I started at the time where the internet didn't exist. This might sound weird for some of you here. Yeah, you see, I joined the Chaos Computer Club in 1996 and have done quite a lot of things since then. I live in the Netherlands now. Which is rather obvious when I work at the Port of Rotterdam. If you want to get in contact with me, reach out to me on LinkedIn, Mastodon, or The Matrix. For Twitter, I think, meanwhile, we can safely say that that's possibly not the best way to do that anymore. I don't use it very often. So, motivation for the talk. 2012, I was on a conference in the US called Tour Camp, which is an awesome American hacker camp, which is... on an island in the Pacific coast in the way level of nature that we just don't have in Europe. So if you have the chance, it's this summer again and sold out for this year as EMF Camp. It's every 2 years and it's always in the same year as EMF Camp, just later in the year. Go there, it's really awesome. What annoyed me was that they did run everything via Google Groups and other things we would today, I guess, call SaaS services if you are in an enterprisey world. And I found that inappropriate. I think that on hacker conferences and groups, you should run the stuff yourself. So I gave a talk about that. It's 2024 now. I want to see how this topic has aged. So... I think we can say it didn't go well. So quick for the target audience, this is because there will be several explanations later. This is mostly directed at people that call themselves hackers or are some kind of technical, which I expect most of you to be because this is a hacker camp. And ideally are organized in groups like hacker spaces or other social groups. And have a tad of an understanding of tech. It's not as complicated as you would think. But this, this is a talk about, in a business world, you would say a way of working, and I'm going old, so this is the first thing that's come to my wife. It's about the habits of using free services from companies like Google, like Facebook, like Twitter, like whatever your email provider is. And I think we need to break this habit. I thought about this in 2012, where all of those SaaS services were coming up. And now it's 2024, and I think the situation is a bit worse. I have to also say, in the old time, we used to run our stuff all ourselves. So I'm old, I think I can claim that. What is this talk not about? This is not a detailed description on how to run your stuff from a technical standpoint. This is more over the business model. It's not about the technology also as in infrastructure, services as an infrastructure. So if you use Azure or AWS, that's not necessarily bad. And like also technologies like Docker and Kubernetes are not bad. Which is way more obvious than it was in 2012. If you're in a business, please do not take this talk as your sole base to run the infrastructure of your company. If you're running a business, your world is a bit more complicated. You might want to think about backups, you might want to think about uptime and availability. And again, your mileage may vary. Running your own infrastructure is very much in the case of 19 out of 20 people have great experience, the last person has a not so great experience. So, let's see a bit of what audience we have here. Question time. Who runs their own email server? Wow, that's way more than I expected. Glad I didn't make the result page already. Who has their email with friends or in the hackerspace? That's maybe four people. Who runs the email with, and I just call it without giving company names here, an independent and anonymous email provider that is good for data privacy and things like this? Reasonable. And who uses a large-scale cloud email provider for their emails? Yeah, that is, I would possibly say, maybe two-thirds of the people. So besides email, who runs a Matrix server? Wow, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people. Why are you here? You know all that already. Who runs a Mastodon server? It's possibly the same posse, same amount of hands, I would say. Who runs a Minecraft server? Yeah, that's something I also expected. So I think we can... who runs everything else? Anything else? May I just shout, what do you run that hasn't been mentioned? Yeah, that's roughly good. Again, some of the topics will be brought up. Oh, there's a spider on the microphone. Cool. What kind of spider is that? Damn. So, results. I think we had a reasonable amount, more than I actually expected, of people that run their own stuff, which is great. Thank you. Please keep doing so. Yeah. So, first, this talk was called Run Your Own Fucking Infrastructure, but why? If you ask people why they don't run their own infrastructure, one of the main arguments you always hear, it's so convenient to use free service providers for everything. You go somewhere, you sign up, and then you're basically set. The next one is, I'm not connected to potential drama. I think we have possibly seen that with the low amount of people who have the email run in the hackerspace or so. So there might be quite a lot of people who are a bit scared off by this from their hackerspace. And the third reason I very often hear is I don't want to constantly spend time on updates. Does anyone have another reason that you would like to shout in? No, to not run it. The electric costs. Email deliverability. That is a topic I would argue possibly, yeah, well, let's get later into this because I have something in here. Security. I think that's the part of the constantly spend time free on updates, I guess, right? Okay. Yes. So, first of all, what could possibly go wrong with not running your own services? First one is the elephant in the room. There's another spider. Where did you store the microphone? That is pretty much the elephant in the room. I'll just put it this way, depending on your legal zone, where you live, do you live in the European Union, do you live in Five Eyes country, do you live in the US, or do you live in the rest of the world? This is kind of the level of privacy degrading over there. The access of police and law enforcement in general for your communication, the barrier for that is very low. So I live in Rotterdam, we had a crime case, and in the news already 1 hour after the crime, the police posted on social media that in his emails, they found hints on him planning actually this crime, which gives you the point of like, there is no idea that, there's little chance that they got a warrant within an hour. And all the access that law enforcement has to large cloud services, let it be Gmail or other things, is very, very, very automated by now. So we are not even talking about hours in there. So when somebody from law enforcement wants to get access to your services, that gets really, really, really quick. And it's For another degree, it's a question of who did you piss off. If you piss off the intelligence community, and I'd like to point that out, it will also not likely not help to run your own server. Because also, in case you didn't know that, that is also not a one-click operation for you to pwn your server, but a lot of attacks that are possible are for them very automated in an automated tool chain. Don't think you can outsmart those guys. At least think about that really, really, really strongly. If your threat model is that the intelligence agencies are behind you, running your own server is not a trivial thing. Talk to people that know what they're doing about that. It's not impossible, but it is really, really, really hard. So, with that elephant out of the room, let's go to the stuff that actually cares more. The provider, there are several dangers. I will now go through them. The provider will modify service or will change the terms of conditions. So, one of the things is that you see very often is, or we have seen, is server starts out free and suddenly costs money. That is one of the predictions we had in 2012. I think we can meanwhile agree that this got stronger. Even Facebook is jumping on the train of either you pay or we will check the shit out of you and send you all of the advertisements. And I think I agree to the change of the terms of conditions is something that you would possibly, if you're reasonably active on the internet, even if you run your own stuff, you will get at least once a day somewhere this, I have to accept to the change of services, otherwise I have to stop using a service. And that is a danger. There will be more reasons coming why on that, but that is possibly something that you want to consider, and that usually takes a time to sink in, so that's likely not your first reason why you do that. This has a lot to do with actually reading terms and conditions, which is very, very interesting and entertaining. Usually they're very blunt in what they're doing. So if you want to find out what a provider is doing with your data, just read the terms of conditions. Like copy it, scale it up to a normal size, and go through it. It's not usually not that complicated. So, what could also go wrong? A provider might cancel a service. Google services in specifically have this habit of starting to run, going well for a while, but not well enough for the circle of product owners. Likely it's called something like the product board at Google. So even reasonably well-going services at Google, for example, are kind of famous for the point of being just axed. There's other examples. When it comes to music, for example, Microsoft Tune is noticeable, but there is meanwhile several services that kind of provide you with music, where you could buy music that meanwhile just said, well, you have now 14 days to download all of your music that you bought, and after that, the access to the music you actually paid for is gone forever. This has another aspect in there that I didn't make a slide of. And that canceled service might not be product specific, it might also be user specific. There might be a reason what you said or something else why you just can't use the service anymore. In Germany, there was a case with a hospital where a doctor shared within the hospital, within the children's health department, pictures of children over their outsourced solution when it comes to medical data. In the UK, I think that's not allowed. But in other countries that's different, and that just got him removed from the company network because, according to the American standpoint, that is child porn. Even if as a doctor, this is kind of pictures of kids you're helping that have a sickness. So he lost access to the account, and Microsoft also doesn't want to reinstate it because for them, the American law sphere just applies. So you have a person that has been kicked out of your organization by a foreign company without really influence from you. But then again, that's a business case. You remember the slide from before. If you're in business, this possibly doesn't apply to you. So, provider might modify data. I think I have to speed up a bit here. This is one of the things is the DMCA takedown. If you uploaded your movie collection into your free cloud provider, 2024, it's very likely it's not there anymore, because they meanwhile scan all of those things for potentially copyrighted material. That is also a thing if you have movies on YouTube, and if music plays in the background, might just kind of make YouTube just kill the audio track on your video. It has happened to me in several videos where I didn't pay attention. And in some areas, try to use certain words that are not like to be heard. And if you're from the US, is anyone from the US here? I see 3-4 hands. Already swear words might have an influence. Like, I think it's not this case anymore on YouTube, but it was for a while that they try to kind of, if you have an underage thing, that they try to actually remove swear words and stuff like this from the videos. Didn't work well, but yeah. Provider might steal data, and specifically intellectual property. So the examples that we have here is Bitly, TinyURL, which is the more stronger cases of really what it says in the terms and conditions that you hand over your intellectual property to the company running those services. It's like not only for the use of presenting them in the on the internet, but really for, if you share data with us, it's basically legally ours after that, and we can do whatever the fuck we want with that. That's not a good case, specifically if you're trying to start a business or have a really good idea, that might go away really quickly there. And the last one, your provider might get hacked. Now, this slide didn't age well. So in 2012, we had those on the list. And the problem in there is if you accumulate a lot of data, this becomes a target for attackers. I've said earlier, you can be hacked if you are running your own infrastructure yourself. Out of the experience of doing this for nearly 30 years, I can say this is way less likely than your provider getting hacked. If we're allowed to look today at companies, so this list is long, and this was a 3-minute search on the internet. I tried to get a list of the companies that got hacked in the 2020s, and there is a breach database that had like 160 entries, and I didn't want to put them all here. But it's basically, I think every serious company has been breached at least once by now, I would claim. Not always all of the data leaked, but in a lot of cases, a lot of the data leaked. Now, you can get hacked too. But as said, if you use someone's same configuration, like you build your services using a how-to of a reasonable quality, and you frequently install updates, that's a lot smaller risk. And for the last one, that's the one that is by now the most obvious one. It wasn't in 2024. The provider might sell your data. Does this need explanation for anyone? Because then I will save myself the time. If it's free, you're the product. Every provider, read the terms and conditions, nearly all of them will sell your data. Specifically, when it comes to the new trend. So the new thing is, which is the thing that is mostly new to that, is that we're now going into, well, maybe it's an episode, maybe it's the age of AI. We have to see if this becomes the new Bitcoin, including, or the new blockchain, including disappearance in 10 years. Or if this will, maybe it is, will be a quality feature in 10 years that we will have search engines that say, we don't use AI, our results are actually quite a lot better. But the drama that is unfolding here at the moment with the use of data for AI, I think no one of you had estimated that in 2023 companies will say, copyright? We don't give a fuck. And just take everything on the internet to learn it into the language model. And I'm kind of glad that they also took The Onion. and all the other websites. So we kind of are going to the point of there is quite some hallucination in there. But I think you see that point, right? As a rule of thumb, if you haven't gotten a notice from your cloud provider that your content will be used for learning an LLM model, it will come soon. So, who do you trust? I think running your own infrastructure is mostly a question on trust. Who do you trust enough to run your infrastructure? It has a lot to do with alignment of goals. Like, if you're a provider of content in this or like your cloud provider, usually will have different goals than you have. Their main goal is to make money for their shareholders, which is not necessarily a bad thing in itself. But I'd just like to point out, this is a different goal than you have. And the best way to completely align the interests of your service provider and yourself is to become your own service provider. In a hackerspace, which is something that I would advocate for, that people run more stuff in a hackerspace, that is a bit easier. My basically general argumentation is, if you can give your administrator a bottle of Clubmate or a bottle of whiskey. Oh, wait. Well, this says whiskey there, right? You all see that. Or you can yell at your administrator. That is already a lot better than bigger companies in that. Good. We have 10 minutes left. Let's get to the last part. How? You need to be this tall to run your ride, because to ride this ride. This basically means you do need to know a bit about computers to actually be able to run your own infrastructure. Turns out, though, it's not really that complicated. Asterisk. So first of all, the easiest thing, updates, updates, updates. That is the most important thing for you if you run services. I have found a friend for this. It's called Aptcon, who actually does at least the normal security updates for you. It's a bit picky. It doesn't install every update. Specifically, it doesn't install the updates where it thinks that like intervention from an administrator might be required. Yeah, as you can see, for running your own infrastructure, I would recommend you a Linux. If you now say, but what about BSD? You're likely not the target audience of this anymore, because you know pretty well why to run your own infrastructure. And yes, BSD is a very valid solution, but for people who want to start about this, it's like I wouldn't start into a BSD. I would at least start into Linux and maybe go to a BSD after you throw your laptop against the wall twice and then decided to go the even more crazier way. But what should I run? So I gave a very big summary in there. I think that is also possibly something for that most of you would agree from what I've heard. I would recommend to start with email, calendar, and address book. And yes, DKIM and SPF is possibly, if you run email, the thing you will need to read most about it. But also, I would argue that this is not more than a weekend spent your free time with shitty weather on the computer trying to understand how this all works. It's doable. I managed that. So I'm pretty confident most of you will actually be able to manage that. File storage. OwnCloud or C-File is great things for that, specifically moving files between your phone and your desktop computer. Very specifically, pictures that have been taken, C-File does that automatically, is very, very, very great. Take pictures, go to your desktop, and just take the picture from there. Common service also is, I say metrics there, but I first say gonna shell for ISC. For those of you who are as old as me, you're lucky to have a shell for ISC anyway, right? Or at least a bouncer somewhere. Some of you might use your cloud. For all the more younger people on you, the new hot thing is Matrix. It also is usually doing relatively well to go on ISC, so you can use it as a client for ISC. And the new big things, that is actually the biggest improvement compared to 12 years ago, is Asset Matrix. And the Fediverse, specifically Mastodon. Who of you has a Mastodon account? See?
So, that was, I would say, maybe 2/3 of the audience. Since this weird dude bought Twitter, which is the thing that we used to do, is a lot of us have jumped on Mastodon and for running your own stuff. I think that is the best thing that could actually happen. Running your own Mastodon server is not that complicated. Also, like Jitsi for video conferences, it's a bit traffic heavy, but also not really complicated to run. And it's great to be able to tell, no, just use my link here for the video call. I run it myself. Nobody else listening in. So, how much experience do I have for this? I run my emails for 30 years privately. I haven't been breached. And because I do run this, I run my email for, I think I have somewhere around 60 domains on my private server. And yes, I'm a domain hoarder, but a lot of them are also from friends of mine that that I host the email for them. Those of you who run your email server, is that roughly an experience you would also agree or see with you? Some do just their own, and some kind of agree on that. Sorry? Yes. With Milliways, we've been running services for around 25 years. We do kind of also pads, wiki is something if you have a group that you want to run yourself. But the most successful thing that we clearly have lately is Matrix. And Mastodon, and we have a large user setup with an identity provider in the back end that we also run ourselves. It used to be OpenLDAP, but oh boy, OpenLDAP. You possibly want to look into a more modern server if you want to start doing something like this. It should be able to do LDAP, but it also should be able to do OpenID Connect and things like this. And for Milliways, I have somebody who has mostly taken the stuff over that I would like to kind of give a shout out to, which is Tuxcoda, who is running this for us. At Milliways, we have around 150 users, of which 60 or so are active on a daily basis. So I'd say a reasonable one. We did not really have had any bad experience, except it happens twice a year that somebody got kicked out in the middle of the night. Monitoring is your friend, right? But that's also not that really that complicated. So my talk was limited to 30 minutes, so I'm kind of wrapping this up now. My take about way for this is, like, the problems with free services are getting worse. There's more use, there's more selling your data, and this whole thing with AI coming is not very helpful. There is a lot of, your data will flow in a lot of different directions. But I would also argue that running your own infrastructure got a lot easier. 12 years ago, it was more complicated to set up your own server. How to start? Get a domain and a server. Possibly start out with a new domain, that you, the stuff that you're running, you have something to try out with it. Start with email, file storage, and then the rest. And the thing I would really, really, really point out to is a Matrix. It's open source, self-hosted, federated. There is bugs, and if you have discussion with ISC versus Matrix with people, there will always be the point, but this is not working well, that is not working well. In my argumentation for what it does, it's really great. And it works really well. The second point will be the Fediverse. In my feeling, the biggest, the nicest thing that we had. A lot of people started using Mastodon, as we've seen, but we needed more services that are not Mastodon. Specifically interesting at the moment for me is Write Freely and PeerTube. I would like to see quite more, but there is more services for that. So, this is the end. I think I'm somewhat on time, so I'm just before being kicked out in here. There's the questions part in here, which we will not do here. You will find me later on Milliways, possibly with a beer in hand and something that looks somewhat like a cigarette. see you there, discuss there with me. I can give long discussions about these topics. That was basically it. Thank you for listening, and hopefully see you later.